Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I'm honored to share the microphone with the most interesting people. Now, these are people who are business leaders across the spectrum. They have wonderful stories to share, and they are going to really share their journeys, business wisdom, tips, and advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And in fact, my guests are so compelling and so insightful that this podcast was recently written up on Inc.com as one of the best business podcasts you need to be listening to now, and has also been mentioned on Entrepreneur and MSNBC. And our topic today, become a sales infiltrator with Paul Demokratou. Paul Demokratou is an entrepreneur, a business consultant, expert sales trainer, and an author. He owns a consulting company and an international recruitment agency in Bulgaria, as well as a video production company in Greece. He works most of the time as a business consultant, but he is also known as an entertainer and producer. As a very successful sales and marketing expert in the timeshare industry, which later expanded to other companies, Paul provides online and offline training to companies and individuals. Now, he has a very interesting story. In 2016, not all that long ago, he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma or cancer. He wrote a book on achieving the success that was born as a result of vision and passion to help each other succeed, even in really trying conditions. So in this podcast, we are going to discuss sales closing techniques and how to understand the level of salesmanship that we all need to have in order to run our online and offline businesses and, frankly, even our personal lives. So we're going to learn how sales infiltrators approach each step of a deal and understand the true meaning of always be closing. Paul, good morning. Welcome back to your Partner in Success Radio. I always love chatting with you.
How are you, Denise? It's great to be back. I'm very excited.
It's wonderful. We have snow this morning in Southwest Louisiana, which is so unusual that I have been outside freezing my fanny off and building little one-inch snowmen. So it's kind of... I am calling them big men.
That sounds a lot like Greece. Right now, if you go outside, well, not right now, but earlier on, it was sunny. It was nice, but I can say it was a little bit chilly.
Yeah, well, here, right, same here. I mean, we knew it might snow, so I was up at 2 in the morning looking to see if it was snow. Then I woke up again at 3:30, no snow. I felt like I'd been sold a bill of goods. So 6 o'clock, oh, snow. So I forgave the weather guy, but here we are.
Okay. But you guys are lucky because at least you're going to be having a snowy Christmas, yes?
No. It'll go away. It almost never snows here. If it does, it's very brief and it's a lot of fun, and then it's gone. It's only every few years that we get snow, and it doesn't stick around long, but it's pretty while it's here.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay then.
It's fun. Well, listen, we have a lot to talk about because the last time you were here, we talked about you, Ben Gay, how you came, Ben Gay III, who is a living sales legend. And, mm-hmm. We talked a lot about how you guys came to write this book. And we're not going to talk specifically about the book. What I'm wanting you to share is basically how people need to understand why we're all salespeople. And that's a tough one. I mean, none of us mm-hmm. want to say, oh, I'm a salesperson, but we are. I mean, if we're in a relationship, we're selling something. If we're trying to get a job, we're selling ourselves. So let's start there and then just kind of go into some of the principles that you talk about in the book.
Sure. Okay. So listen, whether you essentially are selling yourself, how we sell ourselves, whether you're essentially going on a date and selling yourself to another person, whether you are in an interview so you get hired by a company, whether you are an inventor and you need funds to push your product, whether you have a product and you want to sell it either directly or indirectly, you know, no matter what you do, it's all about sales, and it's all about selling yourself. And what people usually miss is that it's sales is not the cliche here, pushy type person trying to sell you something, being all salesy like we see, you know, the I guess the equivalent in America would be old car salesman.
Yes.
But sales has negotiating. Sales is about negotiating, network, psychology, body language, persuasion techniques, rhetoric. It's about everything to do with communication. Yeah, a simple close can be used in everyday life. A simple alternative close, would you rather have a sea view apartment or facing the pool for a hotel, which is an alternative close, can be used by mothers to their kids. Would you rather do your homework now or after you finish your TV program? Or would you on a date, would you rather go to the movies or to a bar with me tonight? It's basically all sales. Yes? And it's a science.
Well, here's the thing, and you're right. In America, the whole used car salesperson just makes all of us go, ugh. I mean, we just do a whole body freeze. It's just icky. And I think as a result of that, so many of us who, you know, eventually come to the realization that we are natural salespeople, that it is part of who we are. It's part of how we live. It's how we part, as you said, we negotiate and present. And I think once we understand that and we get past that whole skeevy thing, then we're no longer ashamed or bewildered by being called salespeople. I mean,
well,
I think
exactly.
I've mentioned this to you before. Watch a three-year-old. Three-year-olds get their own way, don't they? Pretty much. And they are selling from the minute they wake up. They're negotiating.
They will close you.
They will. You know, they drive me crazy watching them. I'm like, how did I ever forget that I knew that?
You know, Denise, there was a great movie that came out recently that shows the power and the dedication, not only the dedication for a salesperson, but how a salesperson is needed. And you may have to forgive me because I can't remember exact names, but the movie was called The Founder, and it was about McDonald's, how McDonald's became all-powerful and how it's right now the biggest real estate agency, or owner, sorry, in the world. And that was all done because of a salesperson. It was not done by the McDonald's brothers. As a matter of fact, they don't even own it. Yeah, and the movie's great.
No.
I don't know if you've watched it, but I recommend that movie to everybody.
I will go look for it. I bet it's on Netflix.
It should be. It should be. I actually rented it out here in Greece, but I don't actually watch TV or Netflix or anything like that. I have nothing. I think I've mentioned this in our last interview. We have TVs all over the house. None of them except the living room is plugged in, and that's only when people come over. I don't watch anything at all.
I'm with
except
you.
I
don't have cable either. I don't enjoy it. I'd rather have a book. Or 10.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I don't. I'm not visually stimulated.
Video, believe it.
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, and I will definitely go look for that movie. So thank you for that. But we are, and this is really what I wanted to drill down with you today, Paul, is that I think so many people just have this kind of knee-jerk reaction to being termed or trying to understand that they really are selling all the time. And I think that's what I would really like for you to address and help people understand, that it's not a bad
mm-hmm.
thing. In fact, it's part and parcel of how we navigate our days.
Yes, exactly. So as I mentioned before, it's everywhere. It's being able to anything you're doing, whether it's an interview, whether it's anything at all, we're always selling ourselves. And, you know, it's funny because you will realize in life and throughout your journey, okay, that it's not talent that sells. It's not talent that makes people successful. You know what I mean? It's how you sell yourself, how people see you. How many times has somebody gone to an interview, okay, for example, and they were the qualified person, they were the better person, they love their job, they love this, like that, and they hire somebody else that doesn't even know it that well, is not even that good, and they wonder why they hire him, blah, 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 it's all connections, it's all this, blah. It's not. They just know how to sell themselves, you know? And that's what people have to understand. So that said, it's all psychology, from how you wake up in the morning, from your toning, how you talk, the way you dress, the way you actually shake somebody's hand can make a huge difference. A huge difference. I don't care if you're meeting somebody, you know, face-to-face or cold calling on the phone. Body language plays a role anyway, believe it or not. Yeah, because it comes out in your voice. It comes out in your tone. And it also shows people tend to paint a picture of what you sound like. Yeah?
I'm so glad you said that. I'm sorry. I'm so glad you brought that up because, as you know, I work virtually. 100% of the work and the connections I make are virtual. And I'm telling you, people can tell instantly what I'm all about by the way I answer the phone or how I speak to them or even how I write my posts on social media. You can pick up an awful lot by following people and seeing, you know, how they present themselves. You know, are they kind? Are they compassionate? Are they occasionally cranky? Do they apologize for being cranky? Or are they just mean all the time? I mean, you can pick up an awful lot and not even necessarily have to be in the same room. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course, of course. It goes without saying. First of all, the best example I can give right now is cold calling. There's a lot of people that try to do cold calling. And actually, it's a big part of your sales, no matter if you're doing direct sales or not. You need to be talking on the phone, yes? So, and a lot of people don't even know how to do that. They just try to call and say something like, hi, I'm calling from so-and-so, how are you doing? And people don't understand, first of all, if you don't introduce yourself, and I'll give you an example, hi, my name is Paul. And until they're thinking about if they know you or not, or they're not listening to you. And then if you're asking them how they are doing, not only is that cliche and salesy, like, you know, it's none of your business, so people will get mad. Or you will remind them that they were doing something busy before they answered the phone, you know? So basically, a simple opening line like, hi, I'm Paul. Now, you don't know me, but what I'm going to do is, the fact that you say you don't know me, it's different. But it also makes them listen to you now. They're listening to you now because now they know your name, Paul. They know that you don't know you. Never use your surname. No one cares. You're not that important to them. You know? It's a lot of, and it doesn't help with building rapport. There's just little tweaks to what you are doing. Now, you can say, I hope you are well today, yes, or something like that, but you know, there's a lot of mistakes being made that cost you business. And it's a shame, especially if you're motivated and you're doing cold calls all day and you're a machine and you're doing like 100, 200 calls and your closing percentage is low because you don't know how to open up an opening for a cold calling script. It's just insane. Yeah?
So you should have a script and you should write it down, right?
Look, I personally don't use scripts. It's the most important thing you could do. You should do though.
Get comfortable.
For example, Ben gave a third user scripts. He's all
okay.
About scripts. And the truth is, it's very, very important. The trick is to okay. I would answer it like this: have a script, but then, speak it like you're not reading it. Make it become yours. Put your own feeling into it. I mean, you could use the exact same script every single time. But for example, I was on the phone the other day, and I was going through my normal sales script, and I heard a dog. I'm like, hey, do you have a dog? And they're like, yes, we do. I'm like, oh, wow, what's its name? I love dogs. And what that instantly did was give me a common ground, a common love for something, and that built rapport, and that helped the sales process. So yes, have a script, be flexible. I think that's the best answer I can give.
Well, that makes sense. Now, Paul, let me ask you this, because I do this, maybe it's because I'm from the South and we're just supposed to be polite, but when I have to call someone, even if it's a friend or family, and they're not expecting my phone call, one of the very first things I will say is, hey, this is Denise, do you have a moment? Because not everybody does. Mm-hmm. They may say, oh, I'm so glad you asked. Can you call me back? Or, yeah, I'm good. Is that a good thing to do when you're talking with a sales prospect?
Well,
or do you give them an immediate out?
If you're, it depends if you're calling somebody that's already a client or a family or whatever, but what I would do, just to tweak that little part right there, I would say something along the lines of, hey, it's Denise, you do have a moment for me, yes? And that way you give the answer to them, and they think the answer as well. And that kind of like psychologically puts them stopping what they're doing anyway and giving you a moment. But it also gives them the, no, listen, I'm really, really can't give you a time right now. But because they've been implemented with the yes in their head, then they feel bad about not giving you the time. So it's much easier to get a reschedule.
Well, that makes sense. And it just, I mean, I'm kind of cranky about my phone. I don't answer it if I really can't give my attention to the person calling. It'll go to voicemail. But that's, you know, that's a business decision for me. But I have often noticed that, you know, I'll be out with friends and they'll answer that phone no matter what we're doing, which irritates me no end, by the way. But instead of saying, hey, by the way, I'm busy, I can't talk, that, you know, whoever it is on the other end will just keep on going. And I learned early on to make sure that your phone call is actually welcome or accepted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we totally agree. I just made a little tweak on what to say just to get more people. And it depends if you're cold calling
gotcha.
For a product. For example, right now, I was for the last couple of months, I was training and motivating call centers for Nova Fortnite, which is telecommunications and television broadcast service. And basically, you know, you just get more statistics, you get more sales this way, because there's people calling them all day, and from companies all day, it's dog eat dog. Okay, and you just need to get to talk to them. And mind you, it's a numbers game, but people don't get the, okay, it usually takes about 5 to 7 times of somebody hearing something for them to say yes. Now, they can hear the same product 7 times and keep on saying no, but they'll say yes to you just because you just kept them on the phone, or you know, they talk to you and they realize, and they liked you, obviously, because you're selling yourself. We talked about that before. But also you explained it in a way where they bought. And a lot of people think it's lucky because they heard about from so many people. But no, it's you, the way you talked on the phone, the way you talk to them. Because don't forget in cold calling, in what they're doing here in Greece anyway, if they don't get you on the phone and they say, call me back, they're not going to bother calling you back, because the program, it was going to make them call them back automatically one day anyway. They just go for sheer numbers. And the best way I found to get people to talk to you on the phone that way is by just doing the direct approach, but polite approach, like explained earlier on.
So I'm having a problem wrapping my head around cold calling, and I know I have to do it. I mean, it's – I don't want to. I'm so happy you. I'm just going to say it. I don't want to. So how do you coach someone like me who, you know, has a business to run, has a staff to feed, you know, has cats to feed, into going, okay, add this to your sales funnel, add this to your list of, you know, I'm not going to say tricks.
Okay.
That's not the right word. But,
you know,
add this to your list of things that you must do to build your business.
I'll do something better than that. For you, I'll say this. If you're going to cold call, you have to understand that your mission is not to sell anything over the phone. Forget selling on the phone. Okay? Your target, what you want to do is to arrange a meeting, whether that's either his office, your office, Skype, or whatever. Do not try to close somebody over the phone. It's the equivalent of selling something directly on the phone if you don't have to. It's the equivalent of trying to get a girl to go on a date with you and, you know, flirting with her on, you know, with messages. No, just get that first date. And then you can go on to other messages and stuff like that. It's remarkable how much funnels look alike in life and internet or on the phone or whatever, since you mentioned sales funnel before.
Yeah, I just built one. That's why it's top of mind. I mean, I just launched it this morning.
Oh, really?
Huh?
Tell me about it. Let's see if you can use it as a live example.
Well, I'll tell you what. My client has written this wonderful book. It's called Buddha in the Trenches, and it's really, there's five principal steps that walk you through how to live a less stressful life. I mean, it's a really tremendous book, and he's actually giving away this gorgeous hard copy book. I mean, he ordered, I think, 1,000 of them, and he's giving them away. You just pay shipping. So we created the whole sales funnel. They'll be shipping around the 15th of the month, and I'll be honest with you, even though I built the funnel and I worked with the author and I worked with his graphics person very closely, I can't wait to get my hands on this book. It is gorgeous. Now, I have a PDF of it. I've read it. It's a very good book. But sometimes you just see something, you go, oh, I've got to have that. Not only do I have to have that, that's going on my give to clients Christmas gift list.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been doing.
And then once they get this book, obviously you have them on an email, an autoresponder.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And there's some upsells in there, obviously. I mean, they can join a group that he's going to be teaching the principles. There's a book club. Yeah, there's free meditations. There's a lot of different things that they're going to get out of it, plus this gorgeous book.
So the way you describe this funnel, and the way you did it, I want you to imagine that on a cold call. The principles are the same. So you want to call the person up. Yeah. You want to excite him. You want to grab his attention. Okay. So something like, hi, my name is Paul. In the next 30 seconds, and I'm not telling you to use this exact thing. This is just something I know. In the next 30 seconds, I'm going to show you something, how to boost your sales. I'm going to show you a trick so good that it's going to boost your sales way, whatever. But you have to excite them. You have to grab their attention. You have to do something different, yes? Okay? So that's basically your opening. You need to grab their attention. That's the hardest part. It's the first 5 to 7 seconds. Okay? Immediately, they're going to want to know what's in it for them. Okay?
Absolutely.
Why do they want to use this product? Okay? So you're going to get this, so-and-so, so-and-so, and that. So you explain your product very briefly, okay, and then you go straight onto the proof, your social proof. Okay, it's exactly like a funnel, okay? People that have been using this, what it's done for them, okay? And finally, you get into your pitch. You get into your, you get into your closes and everything, and that's basically how it goes. So, hi, my name is Paul, and now you don't know me, but in the next 30 seconds, I'm going to show you a book so good that it's going to blow your mind. It's literally going to raise your sales by 250%, no joke. Okay? Now, this book, okay, I have testimonials for this book. It's helped people. It's helped people before. And you know the funny thing is, sales closers use this book. Sales professionals use this book. This book is not going to be last. It's actually co-written with a living legend. Yeah, he just goes.
And here we're talking about Ben Gay the Third.
The book,
I hope he's listening.
The book is called The Closers 3. Now, 1 and 2 has sold over 5 million copies before they stopped counting. And number three, marries everything in all the principles in book one and two and adds on for today's age, today's business age. Yeah? And the book is actually, by the way, side note, the book is actually written as a story of somebody in a company that gets into a competition with somebody else in the company and who gets the sales and who does this, and they're like enemies, but then they become friends and they try to save the company, and everything inside the story is teaches you sales. It actually teaches you sales, it teaches you closing, and there's commentary by me and Ben, which is great, never before seen, never before heard advice, yeah, from both of us. And that's The Closer's Three. It's 400 pages. It's a pretty thick book.
I have it, and thank you so much for sending it to me. And Ben also sent me The Closers 1 and 2 some time ago, mm-hmm. so now I have all of them, and that makes me very, very happy.
The complete set.
I have the complete set, and I've had both of you on the show. I'm happy. I'm very excited about this. So, but basically, what we're telling people, I think, is that always be aware of what you're telling to people. Make sure that what you're telling them is correct, that you are actually giving them information that, you know, will be very, very beneficial to them, that will help them, that you're not just in that whole skeevy auto salesperson who's going to sell you a car, whether you need it or not. And I'll give you an example of that. I've never seen anything like this. It still bothers me. My former husband had already made a decision to buy a little Mercedes. I can't remember the name of it now, but it was a convertible. I hated it. I felt like I was sitting my butt on the ground, scooting along, going rum, rum. I hated the car. But he wanted it so bad. He'd already gone to the dealership. He had picked it out. He just wanted me to come in and say, sure, it's okay. Go ahead and buy it. You know, that way, the house wouldn't blow up when he brought it home. It was a done deal, right, Paul? It was a done deal. This skeevy salesman honed in on me, never made eye contact with my poor husband at the time, tried to sell me a car that was already sold. I actually walked out. I left. I was so offended. And to this day, I don't understand what his thought process was. But that embodied everything that I think a lot of people go, oh, God, I don't want to be in sales. My advice and Paul's advice, I think, is don't be that guy. Be genuine, be helpful. So you take it from there, because I know where you're going with this.
Look, if you have to lie to sell, and I just wanted to say that because this is something about being genuine. If you have to lie to sell your product, there's two problems with this. Number one, you shouldn't be selling with lying, because you don't become a good salesperson that way. Believe me, it's gone. Second of all, you're conditioning yourself to believe that your product can't sell if you don't lie, which then turns into you not believing your product. And it's gone. You've lost the game. You will never become a master closer or sales infiltrator like that, ever, ever. Yeah, it has to be win-win. You have to believe in your product. If you don't believe in your product, change your product.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Finish your thought?
No, that's okay. Please, go ahead.
Well, you said sales infiltration, and I have it on my list of things to ask you what that means, because it seems like a kind of scary phrase.
Okay. Sales, the best way I can put it is like this. A sales infiltrator doesn't sell you anything. He helps you buy and make the decision. It's beyond master closer. It's beyond the closers. It's beyond everything. It's okay, Mr. and Mrs. Client, or John, okay, based on the information you gave me today, this is what I'll suggest we do. And when you can get to a point that you can say that with your client, that you've infiltrated them.
Okay, I have to I may have to ask this, because I do this in my own practice, my own virtual assistants and web development practice. People will come to me because they've been told, oh, you've got to have an online business manager. Oh, you need this, that, and the other. And Paul, I will not horribly often, but often enough that it's you know, I need to comment on it. I've had situations where I've had to tell people, you're not ready. You've gotten some fairly good advice, but it's not complete advice. I'm going to suggest that you do this, and I give them a homework list, believe it or not, and tell them to take care of these things and then circle back around to me in 3 months. And, you know, they often do. In fact, I had one lady, excuse me, she circled back around after 2 years. We're launching her website today, too. Took her 2 years to get where she needed to be, but she remembered that I didn't try to talk her into something that she wasn't ready for. So would that be sales infiltration?
It would be even more if, for example, you provided them with a free course, and that way you can also establish yourself as an expert and, you know, share that around as well. Plus,
right.
You can have it in general, and that way you will open up your pipeline. And it will remind
them.
That's
brilliant.
Because
I just wrote that down. I'm writing that down.
And while you're making the course, then you just get a transcriber, or you could do it yourself, make it into an ebook, then give the ebook for free, and they get the course for free. And then, you know, but basically, you are establishing a network where you can sell to.
So you're basically serving. I mean, you know, salespeople, I think true salespeople like you and like Bengay III, you're actually serving your audience. You're serving your clients. You're not just trying to sell them, take the money and go, thanks. Nice knowing you.
Life is win-win. Life is win-win. And you have to basically always, always look at the other person's and make sure he's winning from you. Otherwise, okay, you make one sale, you make some money, and that's it. No, the real sales are in the back end. Just like a funnel. Well, that's your clients as well. You have to sell them, resell them, keep selling them, and build a relationship with them where you become a consultant, an advisor, a helper, whatever you want to call it. You know, somebody that people will come to you every time they want to make the decision because they know that you're looking out for their best interests.
Now,
does that make sense?
I can almost... Absolutely, because that's how I operate. I can almost hear the audience saying, yeah, but I sell a widget. How can I possibly do this?
You can, okay. The widget being what? Let's talk about a specific example.
Oh, let's just say, okay, I sell this one particular little item, and it really doesn't have any kind of application for more resales. It's kind of a one-and-done thing. Now what?
Okay. So how are you advertising it?
I don't know. I don't sell widgets.
So let's start with this.
I have no clue.
Let's start with this. Yeah, okay, it's kind of hard to be a hypothetical example, but let me start with this. When somebody goes to buy a drill, okay, in a hardware store, what do they buy?
Black & Decker.
Nope.
No, I'm lying. They're buying what's the function. They're buying what's going to happen when they get it home because they know that when they take it out of that box, that drill is going to drill holes in the wall so they can hang that shelf and get their wife off the back.
They're cutting the hole in the wall.
That's exactly right. Okay, I got it.
And what are they putting in the hole in the wall?
A screw?
What they're putting on the hole on the wall is a feeling. Now, I don't care if this hole in the wall is a TV set. I don't care if it's a picture of your family. I don't care if it's a fire extinguisher for safety. It's a feeling. It's always a feeling. Remember, people buy with emotion, justify with logic. Now, when you're selling, for example, a TV set, you're not selling the TV or the programs they're going to watch. You're selling, okay, some quality time with your wife, being able to watch TV at night when the kids are asleep, you know, and you have your arm around her and you're watching that TV program. You're selling the smile on your kid's face while they're watching TV as you walk past because they're watching those cartoons in HD. You're selling the hello.
I'm still here.
Hello?
I don't know what happened.
Oh, give me a second.
Okay.
Give me a second. I'm having a line problem in my room.
It sounded like it.
It's okay. It was the other line. It was open up inside. So
can you hear me
you're
now?
You're selling the feeling. I can hear you perfectly. Can you hear me?
Okay, great. Yes, you're perfect.
Perfect.
Keep going.
So you're selling the feeling. When you're selling the memories on the wall where they sit there, and basically that's what you're selling. Now, if you're selling a widget for whatever reason and it has only one-time use, okay, how do you put up the widget? How do you use the widget? Make YouTube videos reviewing the widget. Make YouTube videos on how to use the widget. Make YouTube videos on how to hang it up, what other uses it has. Then target people. You know what I mean? And just a small piece of advice right here. Most people try to put links in the videos to sell their widget. No, don't do that. YouTube doesn't like it when you click off and you go somewhere else. What you do is you use YouTube advertising, AdWords, and you target your own video with ads for that widget. It will be much cheaper for you than anyone else, even if it's a bit higher, because you'll have a more conversion rate. YouTube algorithm will see this, and that way it will give that video to more people. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
It does, kind of like Amazon. So basically what you're saying is sell the one-time widget, or the TV in this case, but then make sure that people know how to set the darn thing up. I mean, when I set up my first smart TV in the living room, I did exactly what you just said. I went to YouTube, and I found some great advice on how to set up all those apps and how to hook up, you know, coaxial cable. And I'm a girl. I didn't know how to do that stuff. I do now. When it came time to set up the second TV, I just whipped it right out, got it on the wall, and it was done. So basically what you're saying is become a resource. And then when you're ready to sell something else, then you have an audience. That makes sense.
Well, now you know you have a widget, you have an audience that sells widgets because they came to your YouTube channel, so that buys widgets because they came to your YouTube channel and they saw the widget, and now you're retargeting them with an ebook or whatever, it's explanation videos or whatever you want, or a landing page with a free ebook on how to use a widget or whatever. But now you know people that use these widgets, they usually buy other things, like people that buy TVs might buy a Blu-ray player or I don't know what. So you're
the bracket for the wall.
Again, you're making a network. Yeah? Yeah. And all you're doing is setting yourself up as an expert. You can, if you do it locally, you can even offer services to go hang up the TV, I don't know, for example. But in general, people focus too much on the front end and not the back end. Yeah, people focus too much on making $5 and miss the thousands. Let's put it that way.
That does make sense. So if I just had a thought and it went away, my mind just took a... You ever do that? My mind just wandered out the room, and I don't know. It may be in the backyard for all I know.
It happens.
Well, it shouldn't be happening on a radio show. Okay, so let's... How embarrassing.
Is it a green widget or a blue widget?
I think it's a snow-covered widget at this moment. That may be what's distracting me. Okay, so let's talk about how people can really understand that sales, because this is a big, big thing, and I hear this all the time. It's a huge resistance, and I know you have felt it. You have dealt with it in your sales team. How do you kind of overcome that internal resistance? I don't want, like I said earlier, I don't want to cold call. I think I whined about it a bit. I know I have to, but man, if you want to see my stomach hurt, make me have to think about cold calling, and instantly my gut just clenches up. Even though, Paul, I know that when I can get someone on the phone, I'm gold. I know this. Mm-hmm. It's just the thought of getting dressed up to go on the date. You're like, oh, I think I'll cancel. How do you overcome that? I'll just stay home in my jammies. I do.
I think about the after sale.
Okay, that's a whole nother show.
I'll go on that date, please.
Oh, okay. I don't. Well, you may have to talk me back from that particular ledge. But so how do you convince yourself, I've got to do this? It's part of my sales funnel. It's how I pay my bills. It's how I build my online real estate, if you will. It's how I build my bigger presence. It's how I create this big audience. How do you get past that initial resistance? Are there any kind of tools of the trade that you can offer?
Yeah, it's called money.
Okay.
You're going to raise your sales. So, I mean, I don't care how good you are at it or how bad you are at it. One thing is guaranteed, you'll make more. See, I like to give down-to-earth advice sometimes. Yeah, it's just money, Denise. You're going to get more sales. You're going to get more deals. And it's the only way you're going to advance. Listen, it's the first few calls. And the feeling you have, that scared feeling you have, that fear, it's the same feeling of excitement. The only way, difference is how you translate it. So how do you change this? Let's say you get on the phone. Use body language. All right? Imagine somebody that is scared. Okay? What does he look like? He's crouched up. He's got his hands together. His legs are together. Let me just do it real quick. And watch my voice. It's actually turning like this, yeah? Now you sound scared, but you also feel scared because you know the other person is feeling that. Now, open up your chest. Open up your pipeline. Take room. Open up your arms. Walk around like I'm doing right now. And guess what? You're talking. You're communicating. It's coming out. The confidence is now coming out. Imagine you're like an actor going onto stage. The same thing is what they do. So it's all about body language. Now smile, yeah? Because when you smile, after about 7 to 9 seconds, you actually become happier. You actually become more confident. And it actually shows in your voice. Now, if you notice right now, I have my body language while I am smiling. Do you see a difference in my voice?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, your voice went up just about half an octave. Yep. You started speaking faster. Yeah, I caught that.
So that's all body language. Now, let's take it a step further. Let's do an experiment live right now on the radio. I want you, okay, as mean as you can, to point to a chair with your palm facing down and order somebody to sit down in that chair, okay? So point and say, sit down in that chair, as strict as you can. Just do it for me. And listeners, please do this with me as well. Point to a chair, palm facing down, sit down in that chair. Say it with me.
I'm going to do this with my cat. Yeah, I'm right here. I'm going to do this with my cat because
sit down in that chair.
Hamilton, sit down off my desk. Get in that chair.
Okay, now do the.
He didn't do it.
Like, sit down in that chair. Very fast, very strict for this to work.
Sit down in that chair.
Okay, now do the same thing, exactly the same. And the only thing I want you to change, Denise, I want you to open your palm and have it face up, upwards. And say it again, strictly.
Hamilton, sit down in that chair.
Oh. Yeah, your voice is changing and you can't be
My voice went down, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
he gave me a filthy look. He's not sitting, but still.
Okay. But basically, your body language changes your voice. So not only do you feel better now, but also, your voice is changing and people can hear you differently, yes?
Yes,
and let's
absolutely.
Take it a step further even more, okay? Most people, when you tell them to smile and do this, the problem is, and by the way, if you smile, it becomes even better, but if the problem is with smiling is most people don't know how to smile. And that's why they come out and they look complete crap in pictures and video, okay? So
I think that's called resting bitch face. I think there's a term for that.
So what I'm going to do, something now. I'm going to hit a few birds with one stone. I'm going to teach everyone to smile. And what this is going to do is, it's going to make you instantly feel better in 7 to 9 seconds. Because when people say smile and it will change your attitude, it's only if it's a real smile. Second of all, it's going to be a genuine smile when you're talking to a client face-to-face or on the phone, so your voice will change or they will see the smile and it will be genuine. And third of all, it's going to make you look great in pictures. Okay, here's the trick. When you smile, I want you to start by clenching your upper cheekbones, like really tight, and letting them pull up the rest of your face. Okay?
This is a facial exercise. I've done this.
Yeah, and as you do that, a genuine smile will work. And if you use that smile in pictures or video, it will work. I know this because I'm a video director, yeah? So you can try that. It's a trick actors use. It works for sales, you know, infiltrators, and I can attest to that definitely. And it helps in your psychology because if you do it right now for a while, you'll see you'll either laugh at yourself or feel good, but you will have a difference in your in what you feel. And that is how you get on the phone and you start calling and you don't dread cold calling.
Okay, explain those, that step by step one more time.
All right, so when you smile, start with your upper cheekbones, okay,
upper
and let them pull the rest of your face up. I'm actually doing it right now as we're talking.
Yeah, I have my fingers on my cheekbone trying to see if it's working.
No, take your fingers off. Yeah?
No?
Just try and smile with your upper cheekbones. And
I'll
you'll see that it will naturally draw your face up and open your mouth.
It actually kind of hurts. I must not know how to smile.
It does hurt. Until you get used to it, it hurts a little bit, yeah.
It's like,
don't
what the heck?
Don't squinch too much. Don't look like you need... Make sure you don't overkill. You're going to be looking like you want to go to the toilet in front of your client.
Okay.
Yeah, it does work.
I will be in front of a mirror in about half an hour going, I'll be darned. Yeah, who knew?
Okay,
so you,
check it out
one
on
of the
pictures too.
Yeah, well, I don't let people take pictures of me. I never have. I have a serious camera phobia. But one thing that I do before I get on any interview or any phone, I watched it was a TED Talk by Amy Cuddy some years ago. I think it's in the top three most famous TED Talks. And she's talking about the Wonder Woman pose, where basically, you know, she says, stand up, throw your chest back, put your hands on your hips, take a deep breath, and just kind of go forth. And I'm paraphrasing, but I do it every single time because as many times as I've done these podcasts, and I've done hundreds of them, I've done them every Friday for years now, I get nervous. And it doesn't matter if it's you who I've spoken with or Ben Gay III or Larry Winkett, all of whom have been my guests, I get nervous. I get a little bit, ooh, is this going to go okay? So I do my Wonder Woman pose, and I'm standing up. I'm looking out my window, and I'm not hunched over my desk. And it makes a big, big difference.
Exactly. That, and let me add something to that. You see, that pose you just described, with I haven't seen the video, but...
Oh, watch it. It's phenomenal.
Okay. When you put your hands on your hips, that's actually a pose in body language. It makes you feel more confident. It's the same thing that birds do when another bird comes close. They like spread and open up their wings a little bit so they look bigger. So what you're doing is you're looking bigger. You're taking more room. Yeah.
Oh.
So it's the same effect. Don't forget that body language. You can read body language. You can use body language to persuade someone, but you also use body language to change what you feel. That's what I was talking about
right.
before on the phone.
Right.
Yeah.
And that makes perfect sense. And I know when I get very excited about something, you know, if I'm very deep into a conversation that I find absolutely fascinating and my creativity zone kicks in, and I know you've done this too, we all do it, all of a sudden you're just on fire, your brain is on fire, you're listening very closely to what the other person is saying to you, and you're coming up with idea after idea after idea. I have found, Paul, that I can't do that sitting down. I'm up. I'm pacing,
no,
I'm walking,
up.
I'm moving around. I cannot, my creativity does not hit me when I'm sitting at all.
You know, when I went to the first call center, I was commanding what I did while I was training. What I told them, the first thing, I'm like, everyone get up. From now on, you're going to be making phones, you know, standing up. If you don't have a standing desk, that's not a problem. Stand up, you know. And it just works. And in general, if you notice, whenever you're in the zone, you stand up anyway. You stand up and you start walking around. And that's when everything just kicks in and just goes on, and you're in the zone, yeah? I do it all the time. Also, let me add something on what we were talking about before. If you are sitting with a client and you're trying to smile genuinely and you just don't like the person, focus on something you like. Like, he might be wearing a tie that's cool, or he might look like somebody, you know, that reminds you of something, or I don't know. But focus on something you like. People tend to pick up on fake feelings, or if you don't like him, more than likely he's not going to like you. It goes back and forth. So start focusing something you like on him, and that's a very good trick. And then you can use the smile, because otherwise it's just going to, you know, it's very
grimace.
Hard to talk to someone you don't like.
It is.
I come to the position in my life, I'm thankful, where I can just get up and leave, but If you need to get that deal.
I do the same thing. I don't work with people. People will say, how do I get on your show? Or how will you work with me? You know, how will you help me handle my business? And I will say, honest to God, Paul, 100% of the time, I have to like you. It's the biggest compeller that if I don't like you or if my spidey sense is going off, I'll refer you to someone else.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you, I've reached that point where I can do that. So that's
exactly.
a true blessing. But you know what else I've learned, too, is, and I saw, you know, Tony Robbins does this. He has a little rebounder. Do you know what a rebounder is? The little mini trampoline?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have one, and it's my favorite.
It.
Oh, I love mine. It's, in fact, I'm looking. It's in my office. And honestly, when I'm about to make what could be termed a difficult call, or I think it might be a difficult call, I will get on that rebounder 15, 30 seconds. I bounce around like a little kid. I'm so happy. I'm smiling. I'm oxygenated when I come off of it, and I'm ready to tackle that phone call. Sometimes it's just as simple as getting a little bit of exercise and then doing the Wonder Woman pose.
Oh, yeah.
And then just going into it. You have to kind of talk yourself into going, I got this.
So I gained 30-something kilos in a short period of time. So me on that rebounder, if that's not going to kill me, then thinking of myself jumping up and down that rebounder will.
It's a lot of fun.
This is equivalent to the rebounder.
Oh, I love mine.
That poor rebounder will hate me. He's like, please, why? Why? Stop. No.
Well, you can get on it and I do it barefoot. I get on barefoot and I just do heel toe, heel toe, heel toe. And I'm bouncing up and down. I'm not actually leaving the mat. And I'll tell you what, your legs will get a heck of a workout. So try it that way.
Okay.
But it's good exercise, and it gets your blood moving, and it gets you feeling, you know, endorphins, I guess. I don't know what the proper term is. But then all of a sudden, picking up that phone or writing that email that you really don't want to write, all of a sudden I got this. I'm good. Now I can get this out of the way and go on to the next compelling thing on my list.
Yeah, also, do what you hate first.
Yes.
Like what you don't want to do, the call you don't want to make, just get out the way. Do that first. You'll find that everything else will work out in the day. So whatever whatever's the most difficult thing, just do it.
Right. And you know what I have found? Invariably, that dreading it was the worst part of it. It's almost never as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah. It's never as bad. Sometimes it actually turns out to be a lot of fun.
Exactly. Okay, so let's get back to some of the principles that about sales, both personal and business. And I'll be honest with you, I find them kind of indistinguishable. It's hard to tell where one can leave off in the other. Because, I mean, we are, as life beings, I guess, we are in the business of persuading others and persuading ourselves. So where do you want to go with that?
Look, there's a few things that people need to learn when it comes to sales. So within the book we actually wrote with Ben, we suggest other books, and not just The Closers 1 and 2. But in general, I'll say a few things right now. The first thing, other than the book, you need to learn psychology. It will make a huge difference if you know about body language and psychology. Just huge. And as a matter of fact, there's a book called The Definitive Book of Body Language by Alan Pease and Barbara Pease, which is what I based everything I know around on body language. That, and if you're more of a visual person, there's this lady called Vanessa Van Edwards, I think her name is, and she has this thing called The Science of People, and she also gets into body language, you know, and more scientific sort of things. It's a must, okay? The second thing is you have to take, and these are no particular order, take care of yourself. The more you love yourself, the more you take care of yourself, the more psychologically, more happy you are in general, you will get a lot more going, you know, for yourself. This piece of advice right now is like you're waiting to like hear the perfect flows or whatever, and I'm giving you like advice like, you know, take care of yourself and read psychology. It's funny, but it's true. Knowledge is very powerful,
it is.
And knowledge of oneself as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you have, there's this very known saying in the sales world called always keep closing.
Yes.
You've ever heard?
Actually, there was a big discussion yesterday about how that is just absolutely wrong. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I'm having a discussion today on how it's absolutely right. So I guess we all have our opinions.
Always be closing. I wanted to change it a little bit. And that's what I was going to say is change it to always be learning. And
I like
whether
that.
It's learning how to sell, learning your customer, learning your environment, learning anything.
Right.
Learning your product, always be learning.
Well, and that goes back to what you said about learn psychology. You know, I could almost hear people groaning, gosh, I don't have time to learn anything else. I'm busy. And, you know, that word busy to me is as bad as a curse word. I mean, it's just a big excuse as far as I'm concerned. But,
yeah, no time is a lie.
It is. We
it's
have all the time
yeah,
that we want to create.
Okay. Some people would complain that they don't have time because they live far away from their, you know, their work in the morning is an hour or 2 hours away. You have two choices. Either rent an apartment right next to where you work or use audiobooks on the way there. You always have
there
time.
You go.
I guarantee most people watch 4 hours, 3-4 hours of TV to unwind when they come home. That's 3-4 hours of YouTube videos, seminars, and books you could be reading. There's just cut out, wake up earlier, speak less.
I do that. I do that all the time. I mean, sleep is overrated as far as I'm concerned. It's like, I'll do that when I'm dead. Yeah, it is. You're so right, because if we don't take care of ourselves, if we don't have a deep understanding of who we are, who we've been, who we want to be, how can we possibly understand other people?
Exactly.
And those are people in our lives. Those are people in close or, you know, semi-close personal relationships. Those are our clients. These are people we may want to impact on YouTube or through our courses or our email list. I mean, we have to be pretty clear, and I think that's probably the best advice you've given me today, is on who we are and, you know, how we operate so we can try to understand how we can actually be of assistance to other people. And that's the biggest part about sales. And there's that word again. But to me, sales means that you are genuinely trying to be of assistance to someone else. You are absolutely trying to help them do, be, or have something. Don't you agree?
I definitely agree. And yes, definitely agree. In life in general, it has to be win-win. I said that. I think I mentioned that before as well. Always think win-win. In the closers three, there's an oath, by the way, and it's in the closers one and two as well. But it's in three, and I go by it. And it's some churches. I am third, which basically is God is first, the customer second, then I'm third.
I've read that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the way we have. I have a plaque on my wall, by the way, with it written down. So, and this is the way we need to think. You know, you can manipulate people and you can brainwash them and use subliminal sending. You know what? It's in the closers three. Yes, you can use these closers that are awesome and just close people and persuade them to buy what they want, what you want them to buy. It's in the closers three. Yes, there's body language tricks that you can use and manipulation where, you know, I can tell you one right now, you know, that will blow people's mind. And actually, I think I will, that you can use, okay, that you can get what you want. The problem is, if you do this win-win and help use these things, these tactics, these techniques, these whatever we want to call them, and you use them for good, you will feel better, they will feel better, you will love yourself, and you will go to work every day with being happy knowing that you're helping people and not a two-bit con artist using people, you know, manipulating people for no reason. And ultimately, you will make more money. And at the end of your life, because at some point, we're all going to continue, you know, think about what you want people to say at your grave. about you.
Yeah.
And that's what your goal should be, you know. Is it this?
You want to
that,
leave a legacy.
You know,
yeah. Yes. Your legacy shouldn't be garbage.
Exactly. And let me give an example of a technique in this book, just to get people listening understand the level of which of a sales infiltrator. A closer will know a close. A master closer will know when to use it. An infiltrator will know how and why. And let me explain what I mean by that. Let's say there's a saying, well, you know, something basic in sales is when you're talking to a client, you need to touch him, right? You just physically need to touch him at some point. And a master closer will tell you, you know, how to touch him or where to touch him, yeah, on his shoulder, depending on the height, stuff like that. Now, a sales infiltrator, and what this book will show you is when. Because I have seen all these sales trainers, these gurus, these experts tell you, yeah, you got to touch him like this, you got to touch him like that when they're talking. Yeah, when? And
right.
The best example I can give you is this. And by the way, please don't, if anyone listening, please don't use this technique for no good, because you can use it for no good. Okay? But you can also use it for good. I'm very serious about this. So pay attention. Okay? Now, let's say you're going out on a date with a guy or girl. You know, depending on your preference. And you take him to a bar or somewhere with low music where you can actually physically touch him and there's nothing in between. You know all the sales tricks, yeah? There's no, you don't go to the movies because the next thing you're just watching and, you know, you can't have physical, you want to be able to talk to them, yeah? You want to be able to physically touch him and stuff like that. So low music, bar, nightclub, where you're just dancing, whatever, first date or cafe or something like that. Now, as you are talking to them, you need to touch them. When do you touch them? The trick is, whenever they laugh, when you say something funny, as they are laughing, that's when you touch them for a little bit. And as time goes by, you touch them a little bit more. Whenever they're laughing, whenever they're smiling, what the brain will do is associate the feeling.
Yep, I know where you're going.
Whenever you touch them. So after a while, whenever you touch them, they'll just feel good. And that's why these girls sometimes, or guys, you know, they're like, oh, I hate this guy, he treats me so bad, but, you know, he makes me feel so good. That's because it either willingly or unwillingly, probably unwillingly, conditioned you to that touch. And that's the same thing in sales. You can touch a client and lose the sale because you think just by touching him, at some point, because he's like frowning or you see it something, like, oh, let me just touch him right here. You know, come on, man. No, because if it doesn't trust you, it doesn't work. It's kind of like a handshake where people advise you to always shake their hand first. Let me explain something to you. So let's say you're a door-to-door salesman and you go to somebody's house and you knock on the door and you burst in and you reach out to shake their hand. How would you feel? I'd be like, who are you doing? What in my house reaching out? You don't always reach out first. Most of the time you reach out first to shake someone's hand, but not always. There are instances where you don't for many reasons. You can imply it and let them do it, but, you know, there's certain places where you just don't do it. Right? And that's sales infiltration as well, and that's the level this book speaks to you. You know, you're sitting with a client, and he stands up, and basic sales tells you to stand up as well so you can have the same control. No, you stay seated. Because what will happen if you stay seated and just look at him, he will go out and then take it and start walking out of the room, pretend to leave. But if you're just sitting there looking at him, he'll be embarrassed to get up and leave. He won't do it. He'll probably come and sit back down.
Huh.
So there's a lot of things you need to understand that master closers explain wrong. Gurus explain it wrong because it's all just a how can I say this? My English. it's reused material.
It's almost like a retargeting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you're kind of teaching people.
Wrong.
Gotcha, I understand. So basically, you're not mirroring them, which actually I always pick up on that and it annoys me. So then I start getting more expansive and make the person who's trying to mirror me look like an idiot after a while. But I'm a mean girl. But I know where you're going with that. So that does make sense. But I think you do have to be very, very careful with touching, especially in today's climate where everybody is being fired and laid off. I mean, it's just insane.
Exactly. When to mirror them. Yeah, it's not just mirroring. Mm-hmm. There is a place for mirroring as well. How to mirror. There's different types of mirroring. It's all in the book.
I've been reading it. It's a really good book. Which reminds me, where can people get the book? I mean, we didn't want to talk too much about the book. We wanted to talk about the principles and, you know, give people some great sales advice. But where can people find you on the web, and where can they find The Closers 3? It is in the show notes, by the way, for people who have got here through the show notes. The links are in that the description.
So The Closers 3, you can find it at theclosers3.com, which is, I think, the easiest way to find it. And what you will see,
and it's the
number
three, right? Closers 3, the number three.
Yeah, the number three, yeah.
Okay.
The Closers 3. And once you are there, you have two options, either to buy it straight away or to download a 30% free sample. And, you know, you can try it before you buy it. Because we're so confident that this book will sell and will do wonders that we just, you know, take 30%, try 30% of it, see how it works for you, and then imagine what 100% will do.
Exactly. Okay, so where can people find you on the web outside of The Closers 3?
Well, me personally, they can find at pauldemokratou.com, and I know that's probably very, very, very hard to find, but you're going to have to link it up in the description below. So
yes.
pauldemokratou.com.
Again, the links are in the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you want to remember my name, just remember Democracy, and just change the N to T-O-U instead of just a Y.
Yeah, I was so glad when we first met that you told me that, because I was struggling with it too. It's like, oh my gosh, how do you pronounce this? And when you told me that, I got it. I got this. It was easy. Okay, well, Paul, thank you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm good. Go ahead.
What, did you have any final thoughts? We are still recording. We did lose the people in the chat room because we're no longer broadcasting live, but we are still recording, so we won't lose any of this. But did you have any kind of final thoughts or advice?
Yeah, take action. And no matter where you are right now, just take action. Do what you got to do. And, you know, figure out the the micromanagement later, but you need to take action. Get the book, read the book, or if you don't want this book, get another book. It doesn't matter. But do something. Don't just, you know, hope to sell. Don't think you know everything. It's often what we already know that stops us from learning, and that's what keeps us behind. That's what keeps us back. That's what keeps us at the bottom. And what we need to do is just take action. Realize we don't know everything, and just realize there's always room to learn, and just expand, grow, and become what you're destined to become.
That is fantastic advice. And you know what I have found, and we all do, is that what we just knew yesterday, we just knew that this was absolutely the way it was. You may look at it with a different eye today. Whatever that situation or that thought was, it is, you know, it's written in stone. It's not going to change. But all of a sudden you read or hear or witness or have another thought about it, and all of a sudden your perception has changed just that little bit that allows more information to come in. So always be aware that you can always keep on learning.
Yeah, there's three sides to a coin. There's the heads, there's the other side, the tails, and there's the edge. We need to stand on the edge and look at all three.
Oh, I love that. Well, listen, thank you so much. It's been a great pleasure speaking with you again today. And I really thank you for all of the wonderful tips and advice that you shared with our audience. And I really encourage people to go get all three of The Closers books. You don't have to be a salesperson per se. to, you know, these books, I have them. I've read them. I've read Closers 1 and 2 multiple times. I'll do the same with Closers 3. These are kind of life lessons, these books. You need them just sometimes to deal with your day-to-day life. So, Paul, again, thank you so much. And I really appreciate you calling in from Greece.
Thank you, Denise. It's always a pleasure. And thank you for having me on the show. And thank you for everyone listening, by the way. I'd like to thank you guys as well.
Oh, thank you. Well, listen, you have a great day. And I will talk with you again soon.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you very much.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.